Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this message would be a blessing to you.
Just a little fun fact to add to what Joey's saying. I ordered something the other day in this little box ride, and I needed to see the details. And the first time in my life, I was looking, I was like, what the? I could not see the little font. I had to bring it closer. So it's happening. Yeah, it takes a photograph anyway. I'm excited to share with you guys just what I felt the Lord has put in my heart. As you know, since the beginning of the year, we've been talking around this theme of walking with God, or being a people that walk with their God. There's been some great messages that we've heard. Adam did a great job this past weekend speaking about grit and grace. And like I said in the first service, we know in advance when we're preaching. So we mull over stuff, we pick up stuff, we hear things. And, you know, and for a while, the Lord has been showing me this story about Jericho. And we've been singing this song the last several weeks called Praise. Remember that song? Yeah. Let everything that has breath. Yeah. So I always appreciate going back and reading up on the heart and the story of where songs come from. It's even more important for me to see where it comes from in Scripture. So I went and studied this this story, and it's just been on my heart, and the Lord has been putting on over the last several weeks, and I've been really feeling that that's the direction He's been steering me in. And when Adam preached on Sunday, some of the things he mentioned, I was like, oh, that's great. That's a comfort. I know I'm tracking in the right direction, so it's always good. Thanks, Adam. But today I want to talk to you about not stopping short of the promise that God has for you, or not stopping short of something that God's called you to pursue. And I want to read a New Testament verse from the book of Hebrews, and we'll come up on the stream if you're joining us online this morning. Welcome. It will be up on the screen for you to follow along. So Hebrews 10:36, it says, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. That's a powerful scripture. We need to persevere. So I want you, because this is going to be an engaging message, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell them what you need to do. No, you too. That's too quiet. What you need to do is you need to persevere. There we go. You must persevere. Okay. All right, so this is a powerful verse. It's true in relationships. It's true in church. It's most certainly true in our spiritual life. And it's true in business. Now, I was going to add up a whole bunch of things to show you, but you could just Google it. If you go look at any successful business, any successful businesswoman or businessman, whether they be secular or people of faith, if you go read their stories, and some of these businesses we know very well, and you go read the backstory of their journey, it's incredible to see how many things they had to overcome to get to where they are today. It didn't just happen overnight. They had to endure a lot. They had to persevere. They had to have grit to carry on and press through to attain what they had to do. So it's always encouraging. Maybe today, you're sitting here and in your heart you've already stopped short. Or maybe you're on the verge of stopping short. Maybe this stopping short is something that God has put in you. Maybe stopping short is something that God is speaking you to do or telling you to do. And maybe some of it's faded, but there's still an echo in your heart. And I want to use an Old Testament passage of Scripture today to illustrate this verse we just read. So I'm going to be spooking. I'm definitely not spooking. We're going to be speaking from the sixth book of the Bible. Anyone know which book that is? Those who are in the first service, you can't answer. Yeah, there we go. We're going to be speaking out of Joshua, out of the sixth chapter of Joshua. Now, I've entitled this message today, Don't Stop, but not just don't stop on six. Okay, sixth book, Bible, sixth verse, don't stop on six. That will make sense in a minute, but just for now, turn to the person next to you and say, don't stop on six. I promise you it'll make sense. So Joshua chapter 6 is an interesting chapter of Scripture because it describes how God's people had to conquer land that had been granted to them. It was given to them. It was theirs, but they were not yet living in it. And I think a lot of our Christian life is the same. Scripture says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, right? Yeah. So whatever's in God should be working in our lives. So the peace of Christ, the joy of the Lord, the strength of God, all those things should be active and working in our lives, right? But just because God promised it doesn't mean that we possess it or that we're walking or living in it yet. Amen? So we're going to pick up this story as God's people are about to possess the land. So we're going to read together from Joshua 6 from verse 1. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Everybody say six.
Six.
It's going to stick in your head from today. Have the seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast in the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout." Let's give a shout.
Yeah.
Here we go. I can feel that. "Then when the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. But not yet. Don't shout yet. Before you shout, you've got to go around 6 days, 6 times, the same city. The wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So God is saying to Joshua, finally, you're going to get what I started promising to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joshua, you're finally going to get what Moses didn't get to enter because he didn't get to go into the promised land. He only led God's people out of Egypt, right? So he's saying, Joshua, you're finally going in, but first, you've got to march for 6 days. And I believe in this passage of scripture, there are at least three things that we can take as to reasons why we stop short. And I've noticed in my own life, and I've noticed in other people's lives, that often we don't receive what God has for us because we don't persevere, because our perspective gets blocked. So if you take your notes, if you're writing stuff down, that will be point one. The first reason is because our perspective gets blocked. Isn't that true? Have you had that?
Yeah.
So in studying Jericho, how many of you guys have heard about the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, right? Sunday school, Bible school. There was even a song I said in the first service that I'm not going to sing it. But there used to be a little rhyme song that said, "Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down." You guys know that song? I can hear you guys humming it, so. But I don't think Joshua would like that song if he had to hear it today. Because it's so simplified to say that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, right? Now, when you study this story, Jericho was the first city in the promised land that God's people had to take before they could receive the inheritance that he had for them, right? So the first city, everybody say first.
First.
How many of you know the first battle is often the hardest? Sometimes just getting started is the hardest part.
Yeah,
it's like going to the gym. If I could just lace up my shoes, maybe I can make it through the workout, right? Sometimes getting started is the hardest part. So studying the story, and the story about Joshua and Jericho, and Joshua fought the battle and the walls came tumbling down, what it doesn't tell you is that they had been wandering in the wilderness for 45 years. 45 years before they even had the opportunity to go in. And that's what happens. The song can so simplify it. And it happens in our lives that we can see someone else's victory and it can oversimplify the process. Process. Sharon, process. Okay. So we have this story. So we were part of a youth ministry back at Harvest in South Africa. And at the time, this youth ministry called Yieldsong United, I don't know if you've heard of them, but God was really using them in an incredible way in that time that we were in the youth ministry, and they were exploding. Their reach was just incredibly far. They were ministering and blessing a lot of people. We had the privilege of going to some of their worship evenings, but you can look at that and you're watching their highlight reels, right? So we together as a team sat and they brought out a documentary about Hillsong United, and it was incredible to watch the journey. And when we were watching the highlight reels and we were getting discouraged, we're like, oh my goodness, how are we ever going to get there? Like, you know, I remember in Chicago, I had the opportunity to go into Willow Creek Church. And if you've ever been there, I remember driving up and looking to the side, not knowing we were there, but I saw this massive like shopping center. I was like, what shopping center is this? And I was like, no, that's the church. And they started in a movie theater. And I was like, how does that work? So you could see highlight reels and it kind of puts things out of perspective. But it was incredible to watch this story of how they had to endure and persevere. And Coastal even has that story. Rod and Val have often shared the journey and how many times it was easy just to maybe pack up and give up. But we persevere because God's called us to do something. And so when we hear the story, it's easy for us to assume that it was just easy for them. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, but it was actually, it went the other way. You see, Jericho is not actually a big city. If you study it geographically, it's quite a small city. I think it's said that you can march around the city within a day. Right, so it wasn't that the city was big that made it a challenging city for them to conquer. It was because Jericho's walls were so high. And I don't know, maybe there's some stuff that's happening in your life. Maybe some promises that God's said to you that you haven't received yet. Maybe there's some things that are intimidating you. And I want to just say today, it's not that the stuff that you're dealing with is bigger than you, because Christ is in you and he's bigger than anything we'll ever face. It's just that sometimes our perspective gets blocked by how high the walls are. And that's why you're so wise to come to church. You know what? Good job. Good job for making it here today. Good job if you're joining us online today. There's something great about church attendance that lifts our perspective. To see past the walls of our problems, to see past the walls of the obstacles and the opposition. When we come together and we corporately praise God like we did this morning, it allows you to realize that you're actually not journeying this out alone. You're not alone in this. You're not facing, you don't have to face things alone. There's a community. And when we come together to praise God, when you make an effort to get in his presence, it elevates us to see past those walls, see those past those problems. And when we look past the walls, we get to see that the enemy that we've been intimidated of has actually been intimidated of us all along. Just sometimes we need to look over the walls. Amen? Amen. All right, so in verse 1, it says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in, right? Then verse 2 says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. Now those two verses don't go together. I'm going to show you why in a second. My problem with verse 2 is verse 1. Verse 2, God says to Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho. Now, only God can speak in the past tense about a victory, a battle you haven't even fought yet. That's how strong God is. That's how big our God is. And that's how confident our God is in his ability. That you haven't even fought the first round, but I've given it to you. Because I'm not limited by time. I'm not stressed out about what you stressed out. I'm not stressed about the economy. I've got this worked out. If you would just get on with a plan, you will see the victory because my purpose will prevail. Verse 1 looks nothing like verse 2. Verse 2, God says, see, I've given you Jericho. Verse 1 says, Jericho was securely locked up. So God's saying in verse 2, Joshua, see, you've got this. Joshua's saying in verse 1, no, all I see is walls, locked up walls. And I just want to know, have you ever felt that in your life?
Yeah.
That what you see doesn't match up to what God maybe said in your heart? Like maybe God's speaking to you about victory, but inside you feel defeated. Maybe God's speaking to you about healing, but inside you are broken. Maybe God has told you in your heart to tell someone about Christ, but in your own life, you have doubts maybe about God's existence, whether he really is there. I'm just asking, have you ever had that season in your life where what you see doesn't match up to what has been said? Maybe God's telling you to give something to somebody, but meanwhile, you have needs yourself. Maybe he's telling you to tithe and trust him with your finances, but you're barely making ends meet. Maybe there's a season in your life where our revelation doesn't match the reality. And this is where Joshua and God's people are. Their perspective is blocked. And that's why God sends us preachers. That's why God gives us pastors. That's why God puts people in your life that you can walk with, you can serve with. Because as we walk with God, as we are a people who walk with God and we see past the walls, we keep our perspective on God's promise.
Yeah.
Point number 2, if you're writing down, is I think a lot of us stop short because our progress, isn't always obvious. Our progress isn't always obvious. Okay, so God speaks to Joshua and says, march around the city for 6 days, and the seventh day, it's going to be awesome. The walls are coming down. All right, so we're going to pick up the story in verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. So they get instructions and they start marching. So after this, Joshua tells the people in verse 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. So they're making progress, right? Everybody say progress, making progress. Don't you like progress? Progress? Don't you like progress? I love progress. I actually get frustrated when I don't see anything moving forward. You can ask my wife, I can't sit still. I always got to have something that I'm doing. And so I have task lists for task lists. At the end of the day, I like to see the things I've completed because I felt like I've moved forward in some way, right? It's like making your bed, right? You're just a little bit further than you were the night before. Your bed's made. It's great. So they're making progress. So we pick up in verse 9, the armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. In verse 10, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So same thing, day two, right? So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. Now I want us to feel what these men must have felt like. While they thought they were about to charge a city and wage war, all they ended up doing for 6 days was taking a walk. And I wanted to just imagine for a second these group of fighting men who had marched around the city for 6 days, and the seventh day the walls would come down. Don't you think it would have been a good idea to just give them a little sign, like that they're doing a good job? Like maybe at the end of each day they come around, we give them a little sign, show them, hey, you're doing a good job, you're moving ahead. Maybe like you march one day and 1/7 of the wall crumbles, right? That would be, it's like incremental progress. It's like Tetris. Anyone remember Tetris? Yeah? It's like what happens in Tetris? You complete a line and it disappears. That's how I would want the walls to disappear. Incremental progress. See, I need to see something to motivate me to stay in motion. If I don't see anything, it's really frustrating. I don't mind working hard. I don't mind sacrificing. I don't mind dealing with stuff, but I need to know that my pain has a purpose, that it serves a purpose, that there's a point to this. But the Bible doesn't say that they walked around the city on the first day and a little bit of the wall crumbled, then they walk around the city second day, and that would have been so motivating. Yeah, we got something done today. Look, the walls came down a little bit, but it didn't. Instead, if you were one of these fighting men, you had come home after the day to your wife. Now, I know the passage of Scripture says that they went back to the camp, but it would ruin my illustration, so just follow with me. So at the end of the day, I'm one of those fighting men. I get home, I walk through the door. Denise is at home. She says to me, how'd it go? Are we going in? What does it look like? Is it amazing? Who'd you kill today? My little warrior, my little big, strong warrior. Who'd you kill today? And I'd be like, we didn't fight today. It was more like a spring training, like a preseason. We just went for a walk today. But tomorrow, I bet you tomorrow, I think today was just a warm-up lap, you know. Joshua just wants us to get acclimated to the conditions, stretch our muscles, get vision for what's going to happen, right? Day two comes because it says they did it for 6 days, right? And you go, well, that's not that long. It's long if you've been wandering in the wilderness for 45 years and now you're looking at it, but you can't go in. It's long. So you come home, day two. I walk through the door. Denise is there. She says, how'd your day go? I was like, Joshua, someone needs to talk to Joshua. He won't let us talk. We can't say anything to each other. We have to march in silence. Now, just a thought. Oh, she said it. So just the thought, why do you think, yeah, you could clap for that, Alex. Why do you think, oh, no, don't answer this either. Why do you think Joshua told them to be silent and not speak? I think maybe it's because he knew that 40 years earlier, it's what the spies had to say about the situation that kept them from receiving God's promise. And maybe he knew when it comes to receiving God's promise, our mouths are often our own worst enemy. Sometimes our thoughts are our own worst enemy. Now I know that we need to speak to people. I know that you need to get advice. I know that sometimes we need to express how we're feeling. But sometimes the best strategy is to keep quiet and march. Silence is golden. 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 6 days, and still no action. Oh, by the way, I was holding this out. I saw this in this blooming way. You know how God told Joshua after 6 days, they'll march, and the seventh day, the walls will come down? Remember that? We read that? Guess what Joshua did not tell the people? He didn't say a single word about how long they were going to march for. Read it. It says, he tells the army, march, advance, keep quiet, don't say anything, I'll tell you when we get there. So it's not like they could say, oh, well, only 5 more days of this, only 4 more days of this. For all I know, we could have been taking a walk every single day. For all I know, Joshua's lost his ever natural loving mind. For all I know, this man thinks we're in a marching band. I didn't sign up for no marching band. What's up with the trumpet? I want to use my sword, man. A group of fighting men, right? So point number 3, the reason why we stop short is because the process is open-ended. So my wife and I, we subscribed to Apple because we are Apple House. We're apostolic. I finally got to use that. anyway, that wasn't in the first service. You got extra. But anyway, so we do these workouts. As you can see, it's going really well. But what I love about it is that there is someone that's leading you through the workout. And there's a timer, there's a clock on the screen, so I know exactly how much time I have left. If I'm doing an exercise that's absolutely killing me, it's fine because I know I've only got 10 more reps left or 2 more reps of this silly exercise. But when I was in Chicago, I ran a lot. Now, when I made the commitment to start running in Chicago, it was terrible. Like, who's ever run a mile when you've never run? Like, a mile feels really far. Like, it's not fun. But as I persevered, as I pressed through, and those who exercise would know this, your stamina grows, your fitness level grows, your endurance grows. So very quickly, I could run much further, much faster, and way more often than I used to, right? I can do it if I can see the finish line. But can you imagine if someone else is holding the clock, and you can't see the end? You don't know how many laps you have left. You don't know how long you still have to sprint for, or you don't know how long you still have to march for, right? Yeah. I can do it if I know what I've got to do. So we've got 3 things working against us. Our perspective is blocked. So we can't see what we're pursuing. We can't see who we're fighting. We don't know what it looks like. We've got no progress. Like, we're marching, nothing's happening. And just the thought that I had, I wondered maybe why the walls didn't crumble a little bit at a time. I'm just thinking maybe it was because God didn't want Joshua and the people to trust in their own efforts, in their own ability. He wanted them to have faith in his problem and I think in his promise. And I think sometimes God lets us walk around in situations when what we are doing doesn't seem to work because he wants us to trust that he is working even when what we are doing is not working. See, will you still pray when the answer doesn't come after 6 days? Will you still serve when no one appreciates you? Will you still show up when you feel like you're not making a difference? Will you still? Will you still? That's the question he was asking. Will you do it just because I told you to? Would you march just because I told you? Not because of the benefit of it, not because you could see the progress. I have a philosophy. Don't write this down. Because it's not. But I have a philosophy that we would all work out And we would all eat well if we can see the results of us eating well and working out well while we're working out and eating well. Yes. You got that?
Yes.
So it's like you eat a broccoli, you get an ab. I'd be popping broccoli. I'd be like, pop, 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 right? I heard someone say that they'd be snorting cauliflower. But it just doesn't work like that. So God wants you to know that He is working even when it doesn't seem that He's working. Can you still trust Him? We sing that song. I'll give you guys a moment. Snorting cough. Yeah. But right, we sing that song. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it, you're still working. And this is the essence of faith. This is the essence of walking with God. It was them walking around the walls of Jericho that would prepare them to face the giants they would face once they entered the promised land. See, it was what God had to do inside of them first. And we're so convinced often that it's what God wants to do for us that's so important. But I think that God doesn't let us, He lets us walk around situations because what He needs to do in us needs to come before what He wants to do for us. See, some of us are on lap six and we don't even know it. How many of you guys watch NASCAR? Of course you do. You live in Florida. It's like, it's religion, right? So I don't know NASCAR very much, but in the little studying that I did, I did not summon Siri. Stay left. But there's a screen with the lap count on it, right? So the drivers can see how many laps they've left so they can pace themselves for the race. The thing is, there's nothing in life that tells us how many laps we have left. And I wonder how many people have given up on their marriages, how many people have given up on their ministries, how many people have given up on their kids. Maybe some people have given up on God and they were on lap six and they didn't even know it. And I want to encourage you today, do not stop on six. Don't stop on six. I know that it can be tiresome. I know that it can be frustrating. I know that you can feel like it's ridiculous or you're tired of blowing that trumpet. But don't stop on six, and I'm going to call the worship team up. You see, we need to persevere so that after you have received the promise, the process will enable you to live in the land. I'm going to say that again. You need to persevere so that after you have received the promise, the process will prepare you to live in the land. The outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. And if you read the rest of the story, it doesn't end there. It doesn't just end on day six. What happens if you read it? It's not going to come up on the screen, but it says, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. And just think about that. If you've done it for 6 days and you don't see a single thing, and someone tells you, oh, we're going to do it seven times today, I'll be like, I'm out. Like, see ya. I'm not doing that. Right? But they marched around the city seven times. And when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. You see, when we don't stop at six, when we persevere and we press in, we get to that moment where God says, now shout, because I've given to you what I've put in your hands. And as we've been speaking this year about walking with God, there's so much more to come. And we cannot afford, as we walk with God, as we are people who walk with God, we cannot afford to stop on six. We have to press on. And I'm going to read the verses, and we didn't do this at the first service, so again, you are scoring. But we're going to sing that song. Because listen to the verse. It says, I'll praise in the valley. I'll praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, and I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded, because praise is the waters my enemy's drowning. I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise because I know you're still in control. Because why? My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. Amen. Let's stand and worship.